You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
We had a great trip. We did. We had an amazing trip. Columbia is a beautiful place, and the people are so friendly. Larry is already building a great team. It's exciting to see some of the people that have joined him in that ministry that are committed, to see the emotion. Several shared testimonies in which they began to cry and weep over what God is doing through them or through the church there. And one of the things about Larry that impressed me is he's a good connector. He was busy putting on two big events. He had all his eggs in those baskets trying to get all these non-church people there to go to something that they'd be interested to possibly get them connected to the church. And he was there doing that, making sure all the things got taken care of, but he was also busy connecting with the people. And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about connecting. Connecting with people. And, you know, I was thinking it's about 2 weeks till Easter. Three Sundays is coming up very quickly, isn't it? And I was wondering, what was Jesus doing a couple weeks before Easter, before that week in which he was going to die on the cross? And so I started looking in the scriptures. And so today we're going to look at Jesus. You know, he was busy, just as Larry was very busy. He was heading to Jerusalem to die. And yet he still had time to connect with people. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and in a few short days, he would be betrayed. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be crucified, and he was going to be buried. And of course, resurrected. But let's follow Jesus as he's heading to Jerusalem, and he makes a stop at a little town called Jericho. How many of y'all recognize Jericho? Yeah, we've heard of it before. Two songs literally come into my head when I think of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, you know, we have the Old Testament, and then Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. Well, in Joshua 6:17, it says, in the city, talking about Jerusalem or Jericho, and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messenger whom we sent. It's interesting that this is pointed out. A whole city is destroyed, but somehow this Rahab gets mentioned in scriptures. Well, why? Well, this Rahab ultimately becomes part of the lineage of David and part of the lineage of our Savior. So Jericho has significance. And then, of course, we know the other stories as we're going to delve into them today. But Jericho is not his destination. Jerusalem is his destination. The cross is his destination. But he's passing through Jericho. It says in Luke 18:31, Jesus talking to the disciples said, and taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." Well, what's he talking about there? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about what he's going to endure in a few short days. The disciples, by the way, weren't excited about it either. They knew that the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him, and they figured, well, they're going to kill him, they're going to kill us too. So Jesus is very focused on where he's going and what he's doing. Imagine the weight that is upon his shoulders. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so overwhelmed by the weight that was upon him. The Bible says he sweat drops of blood. So there's a tremendous pressure and weight upon him, and he is focused on getting to Jerusalem, finishing what he was sent to accomplish. You know, sometimes we can be so focused on what we want to do or what we think we have to do that we miss those that are around us. I like to ride my motorcycle, and I like taking trips. In fact, I've taken 2 cross-country trips on my motorcycle to the West Coast. And when I'm going there, I like to see the sights. I love the mountains out west. But one of the things, we know a lot of people. And so we like to go see some of our friends when we're driving across the United States. My wife will contact them and say, oh, we're going to go see these people. We're going to go see these people. You know, the problem is they all want to know when you're going to get there. You know, they don't want us, well, we'll be there sometime in this 4-day window. No, they want to know, when are you going to get to our house? Which means now I have to be there by a certain time. And so I can get so focused on this trip, which is supposed to be a sightseeing, just enjoying, just go wherever I want to go, ends up becoming focused, and I have to get to this place, and I have to get to this point. And there's all these things that I'm passing up, these sights that I wanted to see. Or, oh man, I would love to stop here and spend some time in this area, but I can't because I've got a destination. And sometimes we can be that way in how we live our life. We have a destination. You might have goals for your employment, for your job. Maybe your goal is for education. I'm trying to get my master's, or I'm trying to get my doctorate, or some other time. I'm just trying to get married. I'm just trying to find that life partner. Oh, I want to have children. We get so focused in our destination that we miss a lot of things that are surrounding us, a lot of opportunities that God has for us to impact our world. And we have to be very careful. See, if anyone had an excuse, it would be Jesus. He had a lot on his mind. He could have been distracted. He could have been self-focused. This is why he took on the form of man, isn't it? This was his mission, to go to the cross. But instead, Jesus had a few interruptions before he arrived in Jerusalem. But are they interruptions? Do people matter? Did Jesus come to the earth just to impact a few people? Didn't he come to earth to die on the cross and be the Savior for the world? Isn't that his singular focus? Jesus knew exactly what his purpose was. Remember as a young boy, him saying to his parents, don't you know I need to be about my Father's business? He knew what he was about. He knew where he was going. So are these little encounters that we're going to look at today, are they just little footnotes in history? Or are they fulfillments of prophecy that fit into a much bigger picture? In Ezekiel 34:11, it says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. So Jesus, as he was going to the cross, was still had his eyes open to the sheep that were around him and was ministering and impacting them, we're going to find out. So I've entitled my message, Walk as Jesus Walked. And that's our challenge today, is to learn to walk as Jesus walked. And so let's see how Jesus walked. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 18, verse 35, and we're going to go all the way into Luke chapter 19. If you have don't have a Bible, the blue Bible that is in the seat back in front of you, page 972 in the blue Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, take that Bible. That's our gift to you. Page 972, starting in verse 35, and I'm just going to read the passage, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. Luke 18, starting in verse 35, and as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Obviously, he's heard of Jesus before because he's asking for something. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, tell him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1, and he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, I think we can learn a lot from how Jesus walked. Jesus never lost his focus of why he was there. But I want you to notice that Jesus walked with purpose. He knew where he was headed. He knew his mission, but his mission included finding his lost sheep. Remember in Ezekiel, I myself will search out for my sheep and will seek them out. In verse 40, it says, and Jesus stopped and commanded to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. So he's going, crowds all around him, people pressing upon him. And then he hears this man calling out, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. And he stops. Everybody else is telling this guy, shut up. Everybody wants a little piece of Jesus. And Jesus stops and he says, bring him to me. I want you to know how much that I appreciate that thought. That he is focused. It's got to be this weight. Literally, the weight of the world is upon him. He's going to Jerusalem to die. But he hears this voice and he stops what he is doing and says, come here to me. What can I do to you? Notice Jesus was focused, his mission. He was headed to Jerusalem, but his eyes were open to people with needs. Now, let me confess, with my personality type, I can sometimes become singular in my focus. John, I'm John's executive pastor. John says, do this, do this, do this, and I make sure it gets done. And on Sunday mornings, there's always something going on, something that's not working right, some facility issue or somebody that didn't show up or whatever. And it's my job to make sure it gets done. And so there are times on Sunday, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, but there are times where I've got this thing on my mind. Oh, I got to go fix this. This computer's not working, whatever it might be. And I'm going, or I got to recycle the HVAC because it's not working properly. And so I get focused in on doing that. And I'm walking past people. And I know you're supposed to walk slowly through the crowd, but that I don't do anything slowly. Yeah, I'm very focused. And so it's okay if I'm walking past you and you think, Pastor Tom's ignoring me, to go, Pastor Tom! And yeah, what? Get my attention. I love people. I care about, I just can get very singular in my focus. It's just the way God wired me. I don't understand. Sometimes it's frustrating, but it's just the way God has wired me. But Jesus, of course, he's the perfect man. I'm not Jesus. And he's the perfect man. And even though he's focused on where he's going, his eyes are still open to the people and the needs that are around him. We live in a world with people with needs. And we need to learn to be observant of that. Now, how many of y'all like spam calls on your phone? Everybody wants to give me a loan. Just one more thing for approval and you can have this loan. I want to call them up and say, you know what? You are the last person in the world I will ever get a loan from. So one of the things I enjoy doing, and as I'm trying to get my strength back after my surgery, I like to go try to play golf a little bit. And Fridays, I try to get out on the golf course when I can. And so I went out this past Friday golfing. And sure enough, spam calls coming. I'm not going to answer those. My son called. I'm going to pick that up. I said, I'm playing golf. Is this important? And I talked to him. But I got a call. Got a call from JR. I just called him that morning and prayed with him because his daughter was having surgery. I'm going to take this call. The guys are all, we're all at the green. We're all standing around the green. They're waiting for me. But I'm going to take this call. Because this call is far more important than that golf game. And I said, how you doing? And JR, man, you messed me up. JR says, I'm trying to compose myself right now. And I'm thinking, oh, it's bad news. My whole... And then he says, the doctor went in and he said, they did not find anything. She said, it was pristine. There was nothing wrong. The doctor says, we don't understand why. We can't explain it. JR said, I can explain it. God answers prayers. Now, aren't you glad? I know I am, that I answered that phone while I was playing my golf game and wasn't so focused in on what I wanted to do that I took that call. Man, that meant just lifted my spirits right then and there. Had my men's group on Wednesday night. CJ told me that he had talked with Les and Rosalie, and he was coming home. He'd been in rehab for a while. He had fallen, broken his leg, and messed up his shoulder and everything else, and he was coming home, and that he was supposed to meet them to help him get into the house and all that stuff. Well, I know CJ. He has, you know, there's EST, Eastern Standard Time, and then there's Central Standard Time, and he has CJT, CJ Time. And I know that he tends to be late. If you know CJ, you know what I'm talking about. So I said, CJ, if you have a problem on getting there on time, give me a call. This was on Thursday. And I'm all the way over at College Drive. He calls me. He says, I'm stuck in Norfolk. Can you go over there and meet him? I said, yeah, I can do that. And I had a change. And I had a busy day, busy schedule, but I went ahead and changed it and met them and helped Les get into his house for because Rosalie was very, you know, it was funny because I told Rosalie I could help. And she said, oh, you know, like I'm so frail now and I can't help him. And I said, I'm okay. I can help get Les in. Les just little guy. I can help him. So when she pulls up and I'm standing there, she goes, you just won't give up, will you? You know, it's such a blessing to be able to help people that are around you that have needs. And Jesus said to this blind man, and Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him. Notice what it says, that he followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. There's confusion at times as to why Jesus did what he did at times, but there shouldn't be confusion. When we look at his high priestly prayer in John 17, in verse 4, it says, Jesus said, I glorified you, the Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. That's what he was busy doing, the work that God gave him to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Everything Jesus did was to bring glory to the Father. And guess what? That's what we're supposed to be doing, bringing glory to the Father. When we pause on the way, when we give up our agenda, when we give up what we want to do to minister to somebody else, we bring glory to God because we're denying ourselves. I had two people do that for me today. Before my first service, my sugar dropped really low and was going psst. And I was very concerned, and so I started asking around. Stephanie went to the store and got me some orange juice to be a blessing to me. Had another guy show up. I was going to introduce him to you, John, but I didn't. Warren. I met Warren at One Life. We swim, and I do laps, and he does laps. And I've known him for several months. He goes to Horizon, by the way. And when I got back and after my surgery and everything else, he came up and talked, and, oh, I hadn't seen you in a while. And I said, yeah. And I told him what happened in my life and stuff. And he said, well, we'll pray for you. And he's been praying, him and the pastor and everything over at Horizon have been praying. He came by today to see me, to see how I was doing. He didn't even know I was preaching today. He just came in before our first service and looked me up. I think, was it you that brought him to me? And he just said, I just been praying for you. I was just thinking about you, and I wanted to be able to tell the pastor how you're doing and everything else. So he came by. Man, to know people care that much. And then he was praying for me. But he's just a guy I know at One Life. When you care for people that are have needs and you take the time and you notice who they are, it makes a difference. And for some people, you might, at Easter, as we're coming up, you start paying attention to them and see their needs, and you make invites and stuff to them. They might come to Jesus, and they might have their life completely changed because you cared enough to give up your agenda and whatever you were doing to love the people around you. Same thing. When I went into my surgery back in October, I didn't think about my yard. Was the last thing, it was the last thing on my mind. And yet Rob came by multiple times and mowed my yard. Just meeting needs. CJ did that for me this week, mowed my yard. I got back from Medellin. I had men's group that night. I'm thinking, I'm dreading it. I got to mow my yard. I was so exhausted and tired, but I got to mow my yard before group. I come and my yard has been mowed. CJ took care of that for me. Just open our eyes to see the needs that are all around us and meet people's needs, just as Jesus did. The second thing I want you to notice is that Jesus walked with people. Jesus always had a crowd around him. And there were times, you know, when you have people always around you, it gets tiring at times. And sometimes Jesus was so exhausted, he would isolate himself from them, but he didn't isolate himself. He would spend time with his Heavenly Father and refresh himself. So when we're walking and we're seeing people's needs, and sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get exhausted, sometimes we do need to pull. We got to take care of ourselves. Why? Because you can't minister from an empty tank. So sometimes you need that tank to be filled up. But hear me very clearly here. Everyone does need to pull away for a time, but the answer isn't isolation. You just need a different crowd in your life. You need the presence of God in your life. You need the presence of Jesus in your life. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I see people come and say, I'm just exhausted. I'm going to step away from serving for a while. And you know what they do? They just slowly drift away. I've seen it happen so many times. Why? Because they've lost their purpose. They've become self-focused. The Bible says God has given you a spiritual gift for the strengthening of the body of Christ. I mean, in other words, you have a purpose. God has a purpose for you in this church. And I don't know what your spiritual gift is, but you're supposed to be using that spiritual gift for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you come to me and say, I'm just burned out, you just told me something, what you've been neglecting. You've been neglecting your presence with God. You have to be in his presence. He's the one that can fill you up so then you can minister to the people all around you. Jesus did it all the time. He would be helping the people, and then he would step away, and he would go spend some time with his Heavenly Father so we could come back with a tank full to minister and care for people. Now, notice again, Jesus is surrounded by crowds, and yet he's walking through in verse 5, and he stops, and he looks up and says to Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. You know, when people care about you and take notice of you, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? You ever sometimes you get and you feel like nobody even notices you. You feel like you're invisible. Here was another person along Jesus' way that was hurting. Jesus could see that. But by all outward appearance, he was successful. He was wealthy, had a nice home, good food. He probably had servants. But he was isolated and alone, and he was hated. Sometimes the people who have what we want, have success, wealth, fame, affluence, are the loneliest and most in need. Open our eyes. Let's see those around us. And notice in verse 8 and 9, it says that Zacchaeus got up and he said, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus hasn't called us to walk alone. We can't bring the glory to God he desires if we're walking alone. That's why the Bible says, for example, don't forsake the gathering yourself together. We have to be among God's people. We have to be in the crowd. We need each other. And I promise, if you stay connected to people, you will have all types of divine appointments. Let me share a few of my divine appointments here recently. Mama Stone texted me. Mama Stone was the pastor's wife for the pastor that pastored the church I attended in Hawaii when I was stationed there. She's been a huge impact. Her son and her daughter, Cindy and Jeff, were my best friends when I was in Hawaii there. Mama Stone texted me and said, Ryan, Cindy's, who already had died of cancer, Cindy's son Ryan has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He's a 20-year Army vet, Army officer, probably exposed to all kinds of things in the Army, in Afghanistan, etc. Diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Said he's going to Johns Hopkins. He's got some Chinese doctor. I said, oh, really, what's his doctor's name? Because I knew there was only a couple Chinese doctors that treated what he's got. I said, is this Dr. He? And an hour or two later, yeah, it's Dr. He. And so I was able to share with her my experience with Dr. He and how good he was and what a good, wonderful doctor he was. Good bedside manner, good, just good sense of humor, but very competent. So I shared all that, and she responded back to me, you'll never know how much encouragement that gave me. How in the world, all over the country, Lou Jean Stone is in Seattle, Washington. Ryan is up in Pennsylvania, and they got connected and just happened to get the exact same doctor. That's a divine appointment. Cheryl and Kevin, if you remember when I was in the hospital, my daughter walking through the hospital in Colorado Springs, shirt, sweatshirt on, someone said to her, oh, you're from Colorado Springs? She said, yeah. And so our daughter lives there. And she began to talk with them and then introduced them to my wife. They got together a few times and met. I've told you the story. He's got pancreatic cancer. This was his second stint there, and had the Whipple surgery like 3 or 4 years ago. We got contacted this week. Kevin passed away. We sent him elbow arrangements, something like that, personally, and just been praying for them. My daughter had met with their daughter in Colorado Springs and prayed with them. We got this note from them telling how much they appreciated the support, the gifts, all the things, the prayers. We impacted their lives just in this short period of time. My brother-in-law had to go to the hospital in Lynchburg to have a stent put in. While there, I reached out to a doctor friend of ours who attended my church in Charlottesville. He's a surgeon there. We were at his hospital, so I texted him and said, hey, you going to be around? Are you at work today? And he said, no, but I'm not working today, but I do have one appointment I'm going to go in for. Why? And I told him where we were at, so he came. And he visited with us 30, 40 minutes and just reminisced and talked or whatever. But in that conversation came out that his wife had cancer, was going to have double mastectomy the next day. It breaks your heart. We prayed with him. We called up Carrie. We prayed with her. Then we sent her a gift basket. My wife's really good at stuff like that. She put this good gift basket, some reading material, and all these different things. And we got this note from Carrie saying, you know, this has been one of the darkest times of my life, but there has been light. People reaching out like you guys. That gift basket has been such a blessing every day as I pull something new out. It's just an encouragement. We're in the crowd, but you're there purposefully. You're there for in that crowd. Right now, you're sitting around a crowd of people, and I guarantee you there are people that God wants you to touch that have needs. You're totally unaware of what their need might be, but if you stop and talk with them, you begin to find out, oh, they're hurting. They've got this going on. They've got this health issue where they need Jesus. I want you to notice one other thing about Jesus. Jesus walked without pride. In verse 7, it says, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. People complained. They didn't like Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Well, who else should he be going to see? He's a savior for the sinners. Jesus wasn't worried about his reputation. He wasn't afraid of what others might think. God has called us to tell people about Jesus. People aren't always receptive to that. In fact, sometimes they're openly hostile to it. I saw a post on Facebook. Someone said, I'm an atheist. Don't bother praying for me. I think I'll ignore that. But they don't always receive. I can't understand it. I've had people. I've gone, can I pray for you? No. What? Why would you not want, you're going through this sickness or whatever you're going through and they don't want prayer? That makes no sense. Some people, well, you know, if I started sharing my faith, I might get fired. Yeah, you might. In our reading today in 2 Timothy, if you're reading through the New Testament, it says anybody who wants to live a godly life will suffer persecution. My neighbor might not talk to me if I invite him to church or share my faith. That might not be a bad thing. My family might disown me. They're legitimate concerns. Roger was a youth in our church in California. He was raised in a Catholic home. He trusted Christ as their savior, and his family kicked him out. High schooler. Kicked him out of his home. Thankfully, we had another church family said, we'll take you in. Yeah, there's a consequence sometimes when we align ourselves with Jesus. But look what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him today in verse 9, salvation has come to this house since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We need to realize that we have purpose, we have a mission, and that's to impact people. So how can we walk like Jesus walked? I'm going to very quickly give you three things. Number one, understand your purpose. Your job isn't just a way to make a living. Where you work, God has you there for a purpose. Your house isn't just a place to live. Unless you're out on 200 acres and isolated, you have neighbors that are right by you. Your community isn't just the people around you. Ask yourself, what has God called me to do? Who is God calling me to impact? Who are the people in need around me? Just as Jesus, focused on going to Jerusalem to die, is looking around and seeing people with needs. Who am I passing by that needs their needs met? Who is up in a tree isolated that you can befriend? Second thing, know your people. Know your people. You were designed for community. God didn't design you to do life alone. We're not lone rangers. Why do you live where you live? Why do you work where you work? Who is in your life? Who is around you? Who has needs? What divine appointment does God have for me? Every day when you get up and pray, you should say, God, give me some divine appointments. People that you want me to meet, that you want me to minister to. Third, take control of your pride. People all around you are facing eternity. You say, oh, I might get embarrassed. I might not have, right? People are dying and going to hell. And we're worried about ourselves. We're worried about feeling uncomfortable. We're worried about being embarrassed. What do you think it's going to be like at the great white throne when we see that neighbor being cast into hell that you never bothered to even invite to church? What do you think it's going to be like when we have a family member cast into hell that you never bothered to share Jesus with them because you were afraid they might push you away? Take control of our pride. Just as Jesus had opportunities to impact people along his pathway, so do you. In Ezekiel, remember I read Ezekiel a little bit ago? If we read the next two verses in 15 and 16, it says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. This is what Jesus did. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And then he says, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Jesus was meeting people's needs, bringing his sheep back to him. Sometimes we are worried about our reputation instead of helping people find Jesus. Shame on us. What are you willing to do to rescue people? Now, we have an opportunity coming up at Easter. It's one of the easiest times to invite people to church. People will come at Easter when they won't come any other time. And I promise you this, Pastor John is going to bring the gospel on Easter Sunday. He's going to tell people how they can know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You just get them here. So I'm going to give you just a few ways that you can impact your community and those around you. First of all, Easter impact, prayer. We have a prayer banner out there that you can sign up for a commitment of time in 30-minute brackets. You can commit to 30, 1 hour, hour and 30, however long that you will pray. You can do it here at the church. It'll be open 24/7. We'll have prayer tables in the lobby that you can go and pray for the different cards that'll be up there and the different needs, or you can stay at home and pray, but just whatever you do, sign up for a time and pray. Prayer makes the difference. Nothing great is going to be accomplished without prayer. Second of all, I want you to take the yellow 3x5 card that's in the seat back right in front of you. Get it out. Let me see them. 3x5 cards that are in the seat back. All right, because we need people praying. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put down here friends and neighbors that you're going to invite to come to church, and we're going to pray that they will come and that they will hear the gospel. Any friends or neighbors, if you weren't here last week, you can add family members because we prayed for family members last week. Friends and neighbors. And then what I want you to do, the music's going to play here for just a minute. And as you fill that card out, I want you to take that card and bring it up here and lay it on the altar. And this is where we're going to be praying for all the people that we're inviting to church this Easter. People will come at Easter when they won't come any other time. Who's the friend, who's the neighbor that you're going to invite? Fill out the card and then just bring it forward right where you're at. Just bring it forward here to the altar as we're finishing things up. Thank you. As you're contemplating who you want to pray for and you're writing down, let me give you another challenge, especially if you have kids at home. Whoever you're putting down on that card, commit with your family, with your children, to pray for that person. It's a great opportunity for your kids to see that God can and will answer our prayers. So pray as a family for these people. Don't just put the card up there and then forget about it. Pray for them daily. Pray that John will come, Julie will come. Another way, because we want to make it as easy as you can, as we can for you. As you're going out, the ushers have Easter invite cards. Take these invite cards. So those people you put there, take this invite card and say, hey, won't you come to our church this Sunday, Easter Sunday, or Saturday night? Come to church with me. I'll meet you there. Hey, you want to really step out a little bit? Say, if you come to church, I'll take you out to dinner. People come for food. Say, come, I'll meet you Saturday night. I'll take you out for dinner Saturday night afterwards. Such a little sacrifice that could have such a huge impact. And the second thing I want to challenge you to walk is Jesus walked 25 by 35. Prayer. Pray for the works. The best way to reach new people is planting new churches. And so I want to challenge you to pray specifically for our church plants here in Central, South America, the Caribbean, and right here at El Sembrador Point Harbor. Pray for those pastors. Pray for our pastor. Pray for Pastor John. Pray for all the pastors here. And then I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to give faithfully to 25 by 35. That's above your tithes. He says, I don't know, Pastor, that's a big sacrifice. Well, Jesus gave himself. This is just a little sacrifice compared to what Jesus did for us. So let me put that challenge out to you. Jesus had compassion on all, but he stopped when he came to people that were in need. You know, say, you know, I don't know who I can reach. John 4:35, do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. I promise you, there are people around you with needs that are receptive. If you'll just go to them, invite them, tell them about Jesus, meet their needs, you'll begin to really see your life impacting people for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for dying on the cross, Jesus. I thank you for sending your son, Father. And I thank you that you've given us purpose to live on this earth. Father, help us as a people here to live purposefully in impacting our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name.